Where are my Crunchaholics at? Oh. There you are. Hi. I didn't see y'all. It's really nice to have you here. Sorry I didn't see you earlier. Silly of me. Hello, and welcome, again, to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
And my name is Dan Goubert, and I am just a goofy little cereal guy, a jester in the court of King Vitaman, if you will.
This is a meditative podcast about cereal, as we said. And all we ask of you in this very busy world we live in is that you slow down for a half hour and just listen to us talk about cereal. We'll have some news, some reviews of cereal, some freewheeling segments. But the main thing is we're just going to keep it chill. If you're headed to sleep, I hope you have a wonderful, restful night. On the pillow and your sheets or blanket, however you like to do it. I have a comforter I like, but I tend to get a little too hot during the night, so I'll kick it off. It's a lot of detail on me. Dan, you got a comforter?
I do have a comforter. I feel like there's no object in the world better named than a comforter. Like that is,
yeah, it's good,
yes,
right?
That is an object that brings comfort.
Yeah, it does what it says on the proverbial tin. Dan, I'd love to launch into news because I love seeing Malt-O-Meal come out with guns blazing. Seems like too hefty of a metaphor for our particular podcast, but
they're coming out swinging like they're swinging pillows in a pillow fight because, you know, their big bags of cereal kind of look like crunchy pillows.
That would be a wonderful night's sleep, I think, just a bag of Malt-O-Meal underneath your head. And now you have a lot, you got a whole new array to choose from here. Tell me about some of these.
Yeah, so Malt-O-Meal, first of all, I didn't list this in our itinerary, but apparently they also brought back a blueberry muffin toasters.
No.
It seems like that's getting kind of the waffle crisp treatment where they'll yank it away from us just to, you know, get our interests back raring, and then they'll bring it back. But I know that one's very, very special to you personally. So I thought I'd let you know.
I mean, it is the one cereal that I've hosted a tasting event for, sponsored by Malt-O-Meal.
Yeah, that's like the best piece of, you know, cereal lore, I think, related to this podcast maybe. And I love to relive that mentally.
It's a great one. It's a great cereal. I love Malt-O-Meal. You know, sometimes, and you know, I feel like this is changing probably. But Malt-O-Meal for a long time was just sort of the cheaper brand in the big bags that you had. The commercial was the guy and he would squat down. Remember that? You ever see that one where it's like, here's what you have to do to find the Malt-O-Meal cereal?
I don't think I have. It sounds like a parody.
Oh, it was great. And he would walk around with like a squat. It's like, they're down here.
Wow. It's really owning it at least.
Yeah, but they've got some of their own, you know, they've got their own style, their own pizzazz.
Well, yeah, I think ever since they got bought by Post, now they have like wider facilities and like better access to, you know, ingredients perhaps, because their quality has definitely gotten a bit better. And now they're launching three more takes. I guess, you know, obviously they're really known for duping other existing cereals, but these are kind of a mixed bag of things that exist or not already. Mm-hmm. I guess most significant here is a maple bacon donut cereal. And of course, if you've been listening to this show for, I guess you'd have to be listening for like 3 years now, you might remember that Post did make a maple bacon donut cereal back in 2019, a limited edition part of their Honey Brunches of Oats line to celebrate National Cereal Day. It was released alongside Chicken and Waffles cereal, and of those two, I kind of would have hoped the Chicken and Waffles came back onto store shelves more so than the maple bacon donut, because I really did not enjoy that one at all.
No, me neither. I weirdly had this weird affection for Chicken and Waffles. I kind of dug that one.
Yeah, I mean, that one was like an interesting salty sweet, almost savory kind of combo, whereas the maple bacon donut was really like aggressively hickory smoked to the point where like even the very thought of putting milk on it was a foul ideation.
I almost never, for me, like, bacon has to be part of the textural, like the texture is a big part of it. I never like Bacos, bacon bits, anything really where bacon flavor has been introduced, I find it really, it always feels too smoky and porky, and you lose, I don't know, the baconness of it all.
Yeah, I don't know. Between the maple bacon donut cereal that came out and the maple bacon Pop-Tarts, which were also pretty bad, I don't have huge hopes for this one. Do like the big pink bag. Do like the design of a pig inside a barrel riding a milky flume.
Now, normally that would be a little unfortunate, the pig's prominent placement, considering this is a bacon cereal, bacon-flavored cereal. But, Dan, I would be willing to bet over $100 million that there is no actual
right
products in this cereal.
They were pretty clear about that when Post released it, that it was a vegetarian cereal, so to speak. But the fact that it is listed as naturally and artificially flavored right above the maple bacon really gives you like a moment of pause being like, okay, which of those two is the natural and which is the artificial flavor?
At that point, it should just say flavored, because they've encompassed the entirety of flavor existence with naturally and artificially. So it just say flavored.
A secret third type of flavor.
Ephemerally flavored.
Right.
Dreams.
Esoterically flavored. But next on this list of Malto Meal releases is Cookie Dough Ruse. Now, this one, when I first saw it, I was like, okay, this isn't something that exists already. They look to be sort of, two-toned puffs with marshmallows, crunchy corn puffs, I would imagine. But then I remembered we just talked about that weird Cookie Dough Bites cereal that one candy company was releasing, and this looks like the exact same thing. So considering that Post is kind of has a reputation, Post of course owning Malto Meal, like we said, kind of has a reputation of being the one who produces these like licensed cereals that other companies make, and we kind of have one that we're talking about in a few minutes too, I'd be willing to bet that this is the same as those Cookie Dough Bites cereal, and maybe it's not such a bad thing then that my order for that expensive cereal got canceled, because now I can kind of just try this instead and see how they approach that cookie dough flavor. And then finally we have the most clear, like, overt duping of a cereal of the three by far, with Malto Meal Cinnamon Oat Crunch Scooters. And man, if we talked about on the other episode, like, the new Special K Oat Crunch kind of being like riding on the coattails of Cheerios Oat Crunch, this one has no reservations about being an exact copy of Cheerios Oat Crunch Cinnamon, which I don't really have a problem with, considering that's an amazing cereal, and this just makes it, you know, more accessibly affordable in large quantities. It's just interesting that they chose, I guess, the cinnamon variety versus the even more superior honey and oat crunch, but I won't complain.
Yeah, I'll try it. The problem with these bags is they're just so big.
Yeah, huge.
They need a sampler size or something. So I can, but that's at everybody. Like, all these new cereals, they come out in like gigantic monstro boxes that become a chore if you don't enjoy the product.
We need little Malto Meal beanbag-sized releases.
Yeah, exactly. I'll look forward to it. I'll check those out. I emailed you that commercial, by the way, so you can enjoy it at your leisure.
At my leisure.
I was really excited to see this next story come through, because is how I ingest cereal.
Okay, well, like, this is also a post-release. It's called Sweet Dreams Cereal, billing itself as part of a healthy sleep routine. The first cereal that I know of designed to be eaten, apparently, at nighttime. And, like, okay, this feels like the closest thing we might ever get to an official empty bowl cereal, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, it almost feels like an homage, especially when you look at the flavors, because you've got Sweet Dreams Blueberry Midnight Cereal, which seems really up your alley, considering your public affection for, again, blueberry muffin toasters.
Yeah.
And then Sweet Dreams Honey Moon Glow cereal with notes of honey, vanilla, lavender, and chamomile. And, like, I'm a big fan of honey and lavender as a flavor combo, and I've made that, and both a flavor combo and a color combo, I guess, and I've made that affinity very public as well. So these really should just have, like, our respective faces on the back of every box, if there was any decency in this world, for the contributions we've made to Sleepy Time Cereal Talk. But I don't know. I'm not sure how much of this Sweet Dream cereal's promise of, like, you know, having a curated vitamin and mineral selection to support natural melatonin production will actually help you fall asleep. But, like, I don't see any red flags in like the nutrition or ingredients list that would make me not think this would at least taste pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to know what lavender tastes like in a cereal.
I'm all for innovation. This does feel like not only is the concept different, but it's got some different flavors in there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. When like we were talking about in our end of year in the last episode being like, okay, we wanted cereal innovation, but we didn't necessarily ask for spicy and chilling cereal. I think this is more up like what we might have been looking for. We're like intelligent use of ingredients to make a cereal experience that is perhaps soothing rather than inflammatory or like liquid nitrogen for your palate.
I tried to find this and on the Post website, they have a cereal locator, but it tells you where you can buy Post products. And the answer to that is all, right? I mean, every store.
Right.
It didn't. Yeah, pretty much everywhere. You could just buy them. It's a list of all the stores that there are in my city.
So yeah, I tried looking up this one specifically, and it said it's not available near me yet. But people have
found it. I have very little hopes then for my town. Dan, what are granola chips?
That is a really good question. I'm still not entirely sure for myself, but what I do know is that there are two flavors of Honey Bunches of Oats granola chips now also hitting shelves at Walmart, coming in both honey roasted and blueberry varieties. I don't really know what you would use these for. Maybe dunking into yogurt or some other type of sweet dip. Like maybe like one of those chocolate hummuses even. Or you could maybe just use them in a bowl with milk because they kind of look like giant golden grams to some extent.
They look like Fingos.
Oh, yeah. We need a Fingos counter on this podcast for a number of times that Fingos has been referenced. But I feel like this is something that I appreciate that they appear to be in a small-sized pouch so that even if I bought them and was like, okay, I can't think of anything to do with these besides just eat them straight from the pouch, then it still feels like I'd have a pretty good time. Honey Bunches of Oats being one of those brands, you know, outside of that rare Honey Bunches of Oats excursion, not exactly a brand that leaves its comfort zone very often, so I'm excited to see them doing something with these large, ridged granola chips, whatever that might taste like. I'm imagining like a dense micro crunch, almost like there's billions of little crystallized granola bits inside of these chips. That might be a little ambitious to hope for, but I'm into it.
These look delicious. I mean, I'll say it right now. These look great.
Mm.
Next up, a tale of two apple fritters.
Yeah, so this is kind of what I was alluding to with Post being kind of behind a lot of different licensed cereal options, because before Post had released two Tim Hortons Timbits cereals in both chocolate glazed and birthday cake varieties, and now they seem to be doing it again with a Canada exclusive Tim Hortons apple fritter cereal. The catch being here that they're not necessarily entirely Canada exclusive, because there's also a Walmart brand Great Value apple fritter cereal that's hitting US shelves, but it is ostensibly the exact same cereal in terms of, you know, what it looks like. So I'd have to imagine, giving the sort of simultaneous release dates here, that this is also the exact same Post product repackaged for US audiences, considering that like Tim Hortons isn't everywhere in the US. I know it's a Midwest staple, at least around me in Michigan, but most people are not familiar, I guess.
Did we get the other Tim Hortons cereals in the US? I know I ate them, but I couldn't remember if listeners sent them or if I found them here.
We did not. I think it was another case where they showed up in a different form. Man, it's blanking on me exactly where, how they showed up. Hold on.
Has Great Value, the Walmart brand, ever had an exclusive cereal before?
That I don't think.
Off the top of my head, I can't ever think of having to see it. It reminds me of the Family Dollar situation where we had to go hunting for bubblegum cereal earlier in the year.
Right. Okay, so that what happened was that I believe the Timbits cereal did appear, but in kind of an abstract form. Because you remember we talked about those Pebbles shake-ups, right?
Right, yeah.
So in the one that was like a maple birthday cake, they had these little maple bits in them. and, or sorry, little birthday cakes, fears in them. And I believe that that was ostensibly the same as the birthday cake Timbits, as well as in the Cocoa Pebble shakeups, they had little Cocoa Puff pieces, which of course, you know, could have just been any Cocoa Puffs pieces, but they called them Cocoa Pebbles Boulders and birthday cake Pebbles Boulders. But I believe that was just overflow from the Timbitification of cereal. So, I mean, I'm sure these apple fritter cereals will taste pretty good. I'm almost a little exhausted by like the sheer intensity of the apple pie toast crunch that I ate over the past season. So
yeah.
I have to brace myself for more apple cinnamon action, but I'm always down for more donut inspired cereals at the very least. Get us that honey crawler.
Looks like an interesting piece. I'd like to try that. I'll give it a shot. Dan, I have been living in perpetual jealousy of you because I know that you have been able to enjoy the IHOP blueberry pancake cereal, and on our review segment, I'd love to hear your thoughts about it.
I'm surprised they haven't sent you any of this stuff yet. It feels unfair.
Yeah, Dan, me too. I'm a big deal, so what can you do?
But you know, I did get to try the IHOP blueberry pancake cereal, and it's okay. Like, I get that now that you can't really get the Cap'n Crunch's maple blueberry pancake cereal, or I don't think the Eggo blueberry cereal anymore, that like this is kind of your only option. But the problem is that those other two were a lot better than this one. Something about like the Cookie Crisp texture and like size of the pieces doesn't lend itself as well to a non-chocolatey flavor infusion. Because the blueberry and maple flavor is there, it's pretty good, but it really has a hard time, given the size of the pieces, really overcoming like the density of the actual just plain corny grain flavor. It's a tale as old as time, with sort of that corny base where the flavor has to be really strong in order to overpower it and give a good balance of flavors, and I don't think that's necessarily 100% landing here. If you are super into blueberry and maple, still worth a shot, but like as kind of just a one-off impulse buy, I don't know if I would recommend it, sad to say. Yeah, kind of a womp-womp ending to the long build-up to an actual IHOP cereal. But
what kind of texture are we? What's a good analog?
I mean, Cookie Crisp is like the perfect analog. It's the exact same shape, and I'm sure cereal-based.
It looks smaller on the box, but maybe...
No, unfortunately.
All right. Well, do we have any better luck with Lucky Charms s'mores?
Kind of. I mean, it hurts me to be so negative continuously here, but something seems up with these Lucky Charms s'mores. Because, like, you've got the Lucky Charms marshmallows. Sure, they're great marshmallows, and I will give it that. Compared to every other s'mores cereal that takes this approach of mixing, like, chocolate pieces, graham pieces, and marshmallows, I wish they all had the Lucky Charms marshmallows because they're way bigger and provide more of that creamy marshmallow flavor than most of the other s'more cereals, which will just give you the little discs or like the little chiclet type ones. So I do like the marshmallow choice here. The chocolate Lucky Charms, they're fine. Again, I don't understand why they're made with corn when the normal Lucky Charms pieces are made with oat flour. I'll never understand that, and I'll never stop mentioning it, but it's beside the point at this point. What really confused me was the graham pieces, because you would assume that General Mills would just repackage golden grahams, but these don't taste quite like golden grahams to me. It's almost like they're lacking 20 to 25% of that golden honey glazed flavor, and instead they're kind of just graham rather than being anything distinctly honeyed. Granted, when you eat it all together, it's still a reasonable serialized s'more facsimile. It's still good and fine enough. I just wish that they had gone a little harder on the honey graham and a little harder on the chocolate, but I don't know. I feel like I could probably just build a better s'mores cereal at this point using like
golden components around your house, like MacGyver.
Yeah, basically, s'moreGyver. Be the s'morcerer that I wish to see in this world.
Now, I was on a recent trip to Walmart. I was feeling very fortunate to see a big. It's always a crapshoot with where you're going to find new cereals, and I would love to, very briefly. I know it's a diversion. where do you find the new cereals? Not which store, but like, where is your go-to look? Because a lot of times you'll be looking for a new one, and then it'll be just like sitting on a pallet in the middle of the store.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because, like, again, so many of these new cereals tend to come to Walmart, first of all. But right. Walmart is not consistent about where they put new cereals. You'd expect, like, there'd at least be a couple boxes of any new cereal in the actual cereal aisle. But sometimes mm-hmm. I'll be looking up and down it, and I'll be disappointed not to find what I'm looking for, only to find it on an end cap, like, three aisles away, or, like, in the seasonal department, or... you know, like you said, on a pallet or on the top of a shelf, even ready to be unboxed. Or again, in the absolute worst case scenario, you have to ask an employee to go look for it for you in the back. And, yeah. you know, they end up taking like a second lunch break while they're looking for you.
Honestly, go for it. I've given you a free pass. Go for it.
If some weirdo comes up to you on your shift asking for you to hunt down some absurdly strange cereal, take as much time as you need.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I can't say there's any consistency with where I find it, which is why I prefer in my ivory cereal tower to just hope that the company will send it to me. But I know there's a lot of stuff coming to Walmart soon, so I will take a trip out probably before our next episode. But yeah. Were you able to find these General Mills?
Yeah, minis? So that was a thrilling conclusion to my anecdote, is that I found all three of these just sitting in the middle of the aisle.
Okay, so have you tried them already?
I have, yes.
Which would you say is... the least good?
Okay. I would say Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Of the really? Three, I think Cinnamon Toast Crunch, it's not, I don't find any of them bad. This is not a great all. Shape for cereal. I really love that. Like, it is, especially the Trix, it just feels like a concentrated Trix. Mm-hmm. But for me, I feel like you just lose. I like the flat square texture of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I just really missed in the like tiny ball form. But that is the only one that I think was a little less great for me. But overall, none of these are gonna, you know, set the world on fire. But I thought they were fun to eat.
Yeah, I will say that the mini texture is really pleasant because, I love anything that lets me feel like I'm eating gravel or a whole bunch of small rocks.
And right, having like that, the rock giant from Return to Oz.
Right. So, again, I like the mouthfeel of all of these. And in milk, too, I found that, like, the smaller the cereal, the more I don't mind it getting a little soggy either. So I like how it all kind of globs together in milk. And I would agree, I mean... The Trix is just fine. I feel like it wasn't the worst, but it like had the least transformative power by becoming miniaturized. Right. Also, Trix is a cereal that the only one of the three that has been minied before and released as that. And then also, granted, I realized that, and this is a long-term point of contention, that I prefer the fruit-shaped Trix, whereas you are a sphere purist.
We can't tear the podcast apart like this.
There's been enough negativity, so we'll get over it. The point is that I kind of do miss the fruit shape here a little bit. I would agree with you, too, that with Cinnamon Toast Crunch, the squares tend to like pick up the flavor dust a lot better than a tiny sphere would. And this just makes me think that like even the Cinnamon Toast Crunch rolls were kind of a good happy medium where they had that smaller size to give you more of a better mouthfeel, but they also were kind of like ridged where they were trying to imitate the swirl of a cinnamon roll, and that allowed it to also pick up more flavor dust. So the minis are a little lacking in that potency department. I would say, though, that the Reese's Puffs minis were my favorite by far. I think that the appeal, again, of Reese's Puffs as compared to these other ones is that it has more of like a weird creamy flavored glaze almost. And having more surface area for that glaze in these minis, while also minimizing the impact of, like, the corn puff, again, having that obtrusive corn flavor in an actual bowl of Reese's Puffs may get a little old, but in the mini version, you're getting more flavor and less of that base grain, I feel. So if I were to recommend one, I would go with Reese's Puffs.
Yeah, I like the Reese's Puffs a lot. I thought they were very delicious. I like these overall. Again, not a game changer, but I also this past week was lucky enough to receive a box of mint Oreo O's from South Korea. And we all know Oreo O's from South Korea are better than the ones in America.
By far.
This is also the same country that brought us green onion checks.
Yeah.
So it is a wild cereal scene over there. These taste very similar to Oreo O's, obviously. A little bit of like green flecks on the outside for on the appearance front. But it's just a really mellow mint, not particularly like pungent, but it is sort of like on your palate after you finish the bite. There's just like a little bit of that mint flavor. I definitely more effective than the Thin Mints cereal, which I guess would be the closest analog.
The only analog, which, really.
Which is a bit more artificial, I think, in the mint and a little more punchier. This is a little more mellow, a little more refined, if I could use that term. So, but very, very good. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Did it have like the Elf on the Shelfy cooling effect at all with the mint?
No. It wasn't that sort of mentholated cereal vibe. It was a little more restrained than that.
Yeah. You'll have to share a picture of this one because I haven't even seen this one online anywhere. And I feel like any chance to see a fresh Oreo O's box art is, you know, like exhibiting a new painting to the world.
Yeah. Now, Dan, I had quite a scare this week when I saw that Corn Pops would be discontinued, a classic cereal that's been in rotation long before you or I. But I hear that may not be the case. Maybe the reports of its death may have been overstated.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of got duped here, and I may have jumped the gun. But like, there was this one like cereal account on Instagram, a big cereal account. First of all, it's insane to me how much the cereal Instagram sphere has evolved since I started blogging years ago. There's tons of people doing hard work on cereal journalism out there nowadays. Yeah. But they had reported that Corn Pops was going to be discontinued after 73 years by Kellogg's due to poor sales. And I was looking into it, and like I had seen a couple articles about it, and they were citing that like Corn Pops was one of the worst sellers of all Kellogg's cereals, and that like they cited an Amazon listing where it said Corn Pops had been discontinued by the manufacturer, but now it seems like maybe they were just discontinuing that particular family-sized edition of Corn Pops. And I don't really know where the other people might have heard that rumor from, but after posting about it and a lot of people sort of, you know, commiserating about it, Kellogg's did send out a tweet clarifying that they were not discontinuing Corn Pops. I'm not saying I don't trust them, but like, I wouldn't be surprised.
You think that maybe they backpedaled? Maybe they were thinking about it, or they're still thinking about it?
Maybe. I mean, it's clear that like Corn Pops is probably, just from anecdotal evidence, maybe not one of their best sellers, given that like it's almost the Golden Grahams of the Kellogg's family, and that it never really gets any special treatment or special varieties like all the big names do. So I have to imagine maybe like they know that there's not as much of an audience for Corn Pops variants. Like there was a chocolate peanut butter pops that came out a few years ago that was okay. And there was Corn Pops Jumbo Snacks 2 that came out in a caramel variety. The catch being that those were not actually true Corn Pops so much as they were corn spheres, much as you would see for Corn Pops in Canada. And this brought me back to a crazy blast from the recent past, that being 2021, which I'm now almost going to codify as a cereal myth, as we tend to do on these podcasts. And that was the rumored Caramel Corn Pops cereal. And this was a caramel variety, not of the Canadian spheres, but of the actual true chew American Corn Pops. And I was really excited for this one just because, like, it feels like a natural complement for the Corn Pops brand. And if you saw the actual art that came out for it, they made this to look like a sort of baseball-themed box, white with the sort of thin blue stripes like you would see on a jersey or whatever. And I just thought it was a great piece of co-branding. Also, I'm now seeing here that the actual name of the cereal is Caramel Corn Corn Pops, doing that sort of duplicity that the Hot Cocoa Cocoa Puffs was. But I don't know. I think if Kellogg's really wants to prove that Corn Pops is sticking around, show it some more love and say so publicly. But I would definitely be sad to see Corn Pops go, just because, like, obviously we talk a lot about corn being not the best base grain for new flavored cereals, but if it is a cereal like a Corn Flakes or a Corn Pop that really owns its corniness and puts it front and center, then that, I think, is the best way to go about it. And Corn Pops is one of the last pure bastions of corniness done right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you encountered other stories like this, things that were supposed to be happening or you thought would be happening and never quite came to fruition?
I think there's been a few incidents like in serial past, and some of them do end up happening eventually. Like it was with the IHOP Panflakes cereal posted about, and then we didn't hear anything about it until years later we get this blueberry pancake cereal. And I think the same was the case with the post-caramel macchiato cereal, which eventually did get the Dunkin' branding, right, albeit without the caffeine that I think they originally promised. The only other one that I think springs to mind was that there was like a Pebbles variety too. What was it? It was like, oh man, I should have looked this up ahead of time. Well, I guess I couldn't have known that you'd be asking that question.
You're right, yes.
It was like it was Tropical Pebbles, right?
Oh, Dan, tropical, I still think about Tropical Pebbles.
Yeah, that one was rumored way back in 2018 alongside a hypothetical strawberry banana Pebbles. That one wasn't really super well articulated. I think it was in like a consumer research poll that they had put out to gauge the popularity of such an idea, but apparently it must not have been popular enough, which really stinks.
They didn't gauge it with me, because I would have given it two huge thumbs up.
Yeah, you, the biggest Tropical Fruit Loops stan in the world, would definitely be all over this.
Man, I'm sorry, Dan, I went back and looked at your story about this from November 2018, and it still looks so good. I'm just thinking about what might have been.
In a parallel universe, we're lauding it as the great cereal that it was.
Yeah. Hey, folks, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you have enjoyed yourself and had a good time. Dan, who do we owe gratitude to today?
We'd like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for our amazing podcast branding, as well as M. Loper and Samuel Rarden for designing our super cool Empty Bowl merch.
Thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to join us again next time for the Empty Bowl. But until then, for Dan Gebert, I'm Justin McElroy. And as always, don't forget to drink the milk. Oh, just a solo. Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was busy not forgetting to drink my milk over here.
It's not a command for you, Dan. Milk is a terrible choice for a podcast.
We have to live our own advice, though. How will they ever know? Lead by example.
That's right.